Covered. This is the America News Network.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as usual on Friday mornings, is Joel Skousen, and we're going to be talking about the affairs that affect you that are taking place not only in the United States but throughout the world. And without further ado, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. It's good to be with you, and let's first talk about Cyprus. The ongoing story about Cyprus's intent to raid all savings accounts in this tiny republic is really about a heist mandated by the EU bailout commission. And that's because the shady bank economy in this island tax haven is around eight times the size of the real economy. The EU decided to force Cyprus to raid bank accounts, the only source of ready funds. The announcement came on Saturday when banks were closed, but news of the tax caused a firestorm of protest, and thousands ran to the ATMs to try to empty as much of their accounts as possible. None of the banks have been allowed to open until a decision is made. Meanwhile, local businesses are struggling to make ends meet with credit cards. When the banks ever do open, they will be hard-pressed to convince anyone to keep their money there. Most of the big money in Cyprus belongs to the Russian oligarchs and mafia, who aren't ones to take this lying down. But this move by the EU was poised or has poisoned the trust in banks all over Europe, creating instability for most Western economies. EU and Russian stock prices and currencies were all in decline, and the Russian decline particularly steep. Well, it started out, of course, with a nearly 10% levy on all bank accounts. The protest produced some immediate shuffling by the Cypriot legislature to try to lessen the impact, moving the bank levy down to about 5.6% for the so-called little guys and moving it up to about 12 to 15% for the big boys. The problem is, of course, the government of Cyprus is being forced to raise $7.5 billion through a tax on Cypriot bank deposits in order to keep an existing IMF weekly injection of cash. In other words, IMF has been keeping the Cypriot banks afloat and with a weekly injection of cash, and they're threatening to cut that off, which would mean very quickly that the banks could go into bankruptcy. As for, you know, the let me just give some background on how this started here. There wasn't enough money in the Cypriot economy when they turned into themselves into a bank haven or a tax haven to handle all of the billions of dollars that floated into the Cypriot bank. So they started lending the money to Greece, buying high-interest-bearing sovereign bonds. When Greece could no longer pay the interest or redeem their bonds, the EU sovereign debt crisis began in earnest that we've all read about, as well as the bailouts. But stakeholders like the Cypriot banks had to take a 50% haircut, along with the others, in the bailout process, which required that kind of haircut. Interestingly enough, the powers that be financially did not declare the Greek banks in default, and therefore the derivative insurance policies did not kick in, and they just simply lost their money, even after buying that derivative insurance in such cases. Well, the money is all gone, of course. It's a giant Ponzi scheme. There really isn't enough money in the Cypriot economy to make anybody whole, so bailouts are the only answer. And, you know, Germany and Switzerland are the economic powerhouses of Europe. They're very reluctant, at least the people are reluctant, to keep bailing out the southern tier of problem countries, Greece, Italy, Spain, and Cyprus. But the German politicians, being globalists, are always the first in line to then, after declaring that we don't want to bail them out, they actually do all the time. But it doesn't mean, however, that the system's in imminent collapse. They can keep creating money and bailouts for a lot longer than people think, as long as they keep inflation moderate. We have to remember that this is a globalist control agenda behind all of this, and they're not going to give up easily. That doesn't mean, however, that Cyprus will survive in this. There's a couple of complexities here that, though, we have to talk about, and that relates to Russia. Vladimir Putin of Russia realizes that there is a tremendous liability to the Russian oligarchs and mafia in the Cyprus banks. He, of course, works for them. They are the former communists that feigned, you know, feigned collapse. Actually, the Communist Party went underground and still controlling things. So Vladimir Putin has already loaned $2.5 billion to the Cyprus banks, offering to extend and lower the interest rate for some unknown quid pro quo from Cyprus. That has gone by the wayside. Apparently, that's been rejected. They weren't able to reach a deal. Even Putin and the Russians can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, so there has to be something for the Russians in return for more credit and money. I think we'll see that the Russians may be shooting for a controlling interest in new gas fields, natural gas discovered in Cypriot waters. As Armstrong Economics wrote this week, Cyprus expects about 200 billion cubic meters of natural gas, worth some 80 billion at current prices, in which are in Cypriot waters. That amount of gas would be enough to cover around 40% of the European Union's annual gas consumption. Cyprus has been counting on starting to export by 2018. That may be optimistic in the long run. It takes a long pipeline, buried pipeline over the ocean, in order to get this gas to Europe. But if those gas fields come online, Stan, Cyprus could hold the key to breaking the stranglehold Russia has on Europe in terms of gas dependency, and most of the gas belongs to Gazprom. It will be very important for the EU not to allow Russia a controlling interest in Cypriot gas. So that's a very interesting concept. It means that Cyprus has more than a tourist economy in the future, but can she last till 2018 to get this gas online? And will Russia attempt to? Maybe why they didn't reach an agreement. I think Russia may have wanted a controlling interest in that gas as collateral for additional loans. Let's see. So in general, the question remains, you know, can this spread to the United States or to other EU countries? Well, governments are simply hungry for revenue. You know, these bailouts can only last for so long. Part of the reason why banking and finance is the target is because this is the core of the speculative economy, which the wealthy and the elite keep their money churning, where the wealthy and the elite keep their money churning for profit. Everyone, including those looking to fund the UN or the New World Order, eager to start taxing monetary transactions, which has a chilling effect on legitimate investment.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Soul Scouts.
At Ram, we only build trucks. That's why there's only one true truck month. So it's no surprise that the new Ram 1500 has been named the 2013 Motor Trend Truck of the Year. and the 2013 North American Truck of the Year. It features an available Torque Flight 8-speed transmission that achieves best-in-class 25 mpg highway and a 100,000-mile 5-year powertrain warranty. Come see the new Ram 1500 at the only true truck month, Ram. Trade in your vehicle and get $7,700 in total values on Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 equipped with a Hemi V8 engine. Standard pickup class, EPA estimated V6 4x2. See dealer for details and a copy of limited warranty. Values include $4,500 total cash allowances and $3,200 Bighorn package discount. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Trade-in vehicle must be registered to qualified buyer for at least 30 days. Residency restrictions apply. Offer ends 3-4. Ram and Hemi are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and Joel, go right ahead.
Well, breaking news this morning by at least a couple of sites is that Russia is unable to meet their central bank obligations because of the Cypriot crisis. I find that hard to believe, frankly. I think that's hype. They've got fiat money just like anyone else, and can create money. It will be somewhat inflationary, but that's nothing new to the ruble. So I think we have to be careful of some of these stories that start circulating. But we were talking about the fact that eventually governments are going to come after the financial sector. They tried to do it here in Cyprus. You know, local politicians wouldn't do this. It'd be extremely unpopular, and that's why they've been reluctant to go along with it. They'd get unelected over this, and they probably will. Having tried it, politicians are very subject to this in democratic socialism. Everything's dependent on the people. I mean, you can fudge elections, but you can't fudge it that bad if everybody wants you out. But this, my greatest worry is three things. One, taxing legitimate deposits. And the danger of that is you've already got them in your bank account, and suddenly the government says, 10% of that is mine, and what can you do? Money's already in an account, which they claim, and it's... So being that cat is out of the bag, people are going to be very reluctant to keep money in a bank if a government even hints of capturing some of that money. The second part is the danger of reeling in government or private pensions, 401ks, anything that's a pension, even government pensions, of taking them in as part of the government system and using that to borrow into the general fund. And the third is taxing monetary transactions, which is all the rage. Let's just take a 1% of all monetary transactions. Well, the tax may be only 1%, but that tax gets collected every time you move your funds to buy or sell, making the tax much more aggressive, collected numerous times over and over until you end up paying 10, 20% of your money. Well, lastly, relative to this, Cyprus bank deal, is an article by Garth Kant, who makes a good point about Americans who are suffering their own hidden savings tax. We may not have, he says, Cyprus-like savings tax of 10%, but we must point out the U.S. government's already taxing American bank accounts by other less obvious and more sinister means. For instance, interest rates in the U.S. are near zero, so depositors aren't getting paid for the use of their funds, effectively loaning their hard-earned money to banks. Then, thanks to inflation, the deposits become worth progressively less and less. The real-world inflation rate is measured by the actual rise in prices of essential goods, including food and fuel, is far higher in the U.S. than the official 2%. And so everyone, you know, who's getting 0.5% out of an interest-bearing bank account is really losing about 3% per year. It doesn't take but 3 years to get up to almost 10%. Well, I've seen at least one of the many imminent collapse of banking scenarios. These purveyors claim that everyone ought to get their money out of the banks right now before they do it here. And I disagree. It's almost impossible to run a business on cash, and it triggers a lot of IRS reports when you run a lot of cash in and out of your accounts. I don't think taxing bank deposits here in the States is imminent at all, so don't rush to withdraw all your money. The only safe other way to store values in precious metals, and that's a real hassle to turn them back into liquid cash for paying bills. So there really isn't any good solution, to keeping some money in banks, but it's important if you have a lot of excess money that you do take some of that out and put it in a store of gold and silver, which you can keep yourself or keep safe. All of this does, however, send a very strong warning to Americans who have taken a lot of money offshore or to European banks, thinking that it will be safe from the greed of the U.S. government. That may be true for the short term, but I can guarantee that anyone who has large sums of money overseas will someday lose access to it by the same kind of bank edict we are seeing in Cyprus. So while I do not think that it's an imminent threat of taking these things eventually, this is a foregone conclusion. You someday simply won't have access to it. So I'm not encouraging people to put money in overseas or offshore bank accounts. Next subject is the U.S. facilitating Chinese spying. Did you have any comments on that Cyprus situation before I move on?
Oh, no, other than it's just, I just wonder if they want to see what sort of response we're going to get from people, if they're trying to frighten people. Certainly, the whole world economy is built upon debt. One of these days, it's going to come down. I think you're right, though. I think they can hold it off as long as they want to. It's really what they want, because certainly the banks have lots of money. They're not, at least some major American banks, they're just not lending it. Other corporations have lots of money. They're not investing. For some reason, Ryle, they seem to be creating this crisis at this time. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Well, you know, it's not, I don't think in this case, and I will talk about baiting us in other aspects, but in this case, I don't think they're trying to bait anyone into destabilizing. The EU has really got their back to the wall, especially in Cyprus, where there isn't any money that the government has there in readying. So how do you get Cyprus to produce? You say, well, go where the money is. You go up to the bank accounts. And I think they tried that. The backlash has been so severe, though, I just don't see any country trying that without causing a huge bank run. I mean, it's just super unpopular right now. So I think it will stave things off for a while. But as I pointed out, they have to come up with more money. They have to tax. They're maxing out deficit spending. They're maxing out borrowing. They're maxing out printing money to keep their, I mean, they could do a lot more printing, but not without causing some very high inflation, which has its own ill effects. So I think, you know, there is some constraints, and that's why even with these constraints in our own country, we're seeing the sequester take hold, and in fact, it's needed. It's still not enough. The government is still growing. It's still getting further into debt. So even with the large chunks of sequester taking place, I mean, it's nothing compared to what has to happen. So they're really kind of managing everything they can throw at these crises, but I can guarantee eventually they're going to be forced to get more money from us, and it will be through those three types of financial taxes, I believe, that we'll see. Well, moving on to the Chinese spy thing, in past years, I have documented many instances, and I know you have too, Stan, where the U.S. invited Chinese and Russian scientists into our secret national laboratories on a one-sided exchange. We don't get to send our scientists to their laboratories, and yet you and I, patriotic Americans, can't get in, but they can bring Russian and Chinese scientists in, which you know are going to spy. The U.S. has also pressured defense contractors for years. I covered this in the 90s, how they would force companies to allow Chinese scientists and military officers open access to sensitive areas in research and development. Now, this was done on both Republican and Democratic administrations, so it isn't that one or the other are traitors. They're both traitors, both working for a globalist agenda, which is building, as you say so eloquently, the best enemy that money can buy. But this week, of course, it came to a head when congressmen have been decrying the fact, especially Representative Frank Wolf, chairman of the House Commerce, Justice, Science Subcommittee, claiming that NASA has posted on its website thousands of classified but extremely sensitive documents, and there's evidence that they've been extensively accessed by foreign governments like China, Iran, and Russia. Richard Pollack of the Washington Examiner says that if you've ever wondered how China is so rapidly coming up to speed on defense and space technologies, this story might help fill some of the gaps. In the last week, members of Congress have been speaking out about information that at least several dozen Chinese nationals are employed at NASA's Langley Research Center. Now, part of this goes back a long way, when the Chinese have been sending all of their best and brightest to schools here in America, and the U.S. just gives them, you know, visas, one right after another. They graduate top in their class in science, and they get hired at Langley Research Center. And they're spying and sending information back to China. The U.S. obviously knows how to stop that during the war with Japan. You know how they round up everybody who was a Japanese and put them in prison camps. I'm certainly not suggesting that, which was a horrible thing. But that means that they know that there's a relationship between, you know, nationals that you bring in from a country that wants to spy and letting them into top engineering fields. Then, of course, there's always the traditional honey trap, which is where they send Chinese women who are beautiful in to have romantic liaisons with people who are defense contractors or workers in government. Benjamin Bishop was just arrested after being accused of giving classified information on nuclear strategic deployments and systems to a Chinese woman. He was romantically involved. But even more importantly, Stan, is the fact that the 27-year-old Chinese woman, the center of these spy allegations, has not been arrested and is not in U.S. custody. And it doesn't look like the U.S. government is trying to arrest her or deport her. And that's typical of the United States taking a very, very laissez-faire, permissive way with people in China, and then they never arrest them. They simply let them go if things get too hot for them. So I'm sure we'll see more of this happening. I'm just glad to see that some of this is coming out.
Well, I agree with you, but I think that we can only understand what's going on today. We look at it, it doesn't make sense. You can only understand it by going back to World War II, where in the years leading up to World War II, American corporations were over in Germany building the weapons for the Germans, and not only during the lead up to the war, but all during the war, the American corporations, headed by American citizens, were building the weapons that were used to kill American boys, over 400,000 of them in World War II. And as you see what's going on today, it's almost like it's deja vu all over again. As we're building up the Chinese, and there's going to be a war with China, it's not a matter of if, but when. Why are we building up an enemy? Well, if you don't have an enemy, how can you have a war? Go right ahead.
And that war will be used, of course, and I think it'll be a nuclear war, an attack on American military. That war will be used to stampede Americans into joining a militarized global government, called probably the League of Democracies or something innocuous like that, and it will stampede us into a new popular World War II-like patriotic war that we can beat the Russians and the Chinese, and it's going to be a very bad thing for the United States, and I don't think we're going to get our liberty back after handing over sovereignty to a world government. And it will be relatively a surprise. I will hope that I'll be able to alert my subscribers to when this is coming. I'll be watching this on a daily basis, but it's going to be a very difficult time. We've probably got 8 to 10 years maximum left of good times or relative good times in this war to prepare, so it's very important. Well, the big story, another big story in the World Affairs Brief is rebels claim Syria used chemical weapons and that they've crossed the red line the U.S. has set. hoping that the U.S. will take the bait and authorize NATO intervention in Syria. A rocket that hit in Aleppo province contained some chemical weapon substance and thus was quickly blamed on Syria. The U.S. said, of course, that any use of chemical weapons by Syria will result in U.S. direct intervention. However, the Syrian government claims that the rebel side did it to frame them, and this is quite possible. The rebels claim and counterclaim that they have no such expertise, but a couple of months ago, the U.S. admitted that they were training Syrian rebels on how to, quote, secure chemical weapons recently captured in Syria. So there's an admission. The rebels have some chemical weapons, and they could have used them. They would have, of course, had to have expertise from U.S. or NATO experts to get them to do this. And that's very typical when you're wanting to provoke a war. As I have pointed before, it is highly unlikely that Syrian strongman Bashar al-Assad would have used chemical weapons in a limited attack, especially when he still has lots of conventional weapons to choose from. He knows the U.S. is looking for an excuse to invade based on chemical weapons. He would certainly not be stupid enough to hand the U.S. a ticket to intervene. He's taken the initiative. I've got to hand it to al-Assad. He's got some smarts. He asked the U.N. to investigate. He knows that the U.S. is always looking to the U.N. to give cover for its attempts to unseat targeted regimes and occupy. By getting in his request first, he effectively neuters the U.S. ability to seek permission to invade.
Hold up.
A full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
It's time to fight fire with steel. To advance truck technology with the available Pentastar V6 and 8-speed transmission. The 2013 Ram 1500 with best-in-class fuel economy. Backed by a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Engineered to move heaven and earth. Guts. Glory. Ram.
Turns out Ram 1500 is capable of moving a lot more than just heavy cargo. That's because it moved the automotive press so much that it was named Motor Trend's 2013 Truck of the Year. Ram 1500. It's not just dependable. It's exceptional. Standard pickup class excludes hybrids. EPA estimated 17 city, 20 combined, 25 highway MPG based on V6 4x2. See dealer for a copy of powertrain limited warranty and details. Ram is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and how they can get the books that you've written on survival, which I think are vitally important today as we're moving into a period of crisis and chaos sooner or later. I don't know when it's coming, but you make your preparations now, not when it's too late. Go right ahead.
Well, Stan, my World Affairs Brief comes out every week, as you know, on Friday. There is a modest subscription fee to support my work. So I do allow people to request a free sample copy. They can do so by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. On my other website, joelskousen.com, people can see examples, pictures, and contents of my three books that I've written to help people prepare. The top-selling one is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, in its third color edition, all about three-fourths new. My largest book is The Secure Home, everything that you need to know about securing your home and making it self-sufficient with solar or generators, water power, wind power, things like that. And my third book, the High Security Shelter book, is now in a fourth edition, brand-new edition, with all new drawings and things to help people build an existing shelter in the basement. It differs from the secure home, which is about remodeling or new construction. Additions, the High Security Shelter book is a more economical way for people to get a shelter within an existing basement. And those new additions have been shipped to you, Stan. All three of these books can be had by calling Radio Liberty
at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and the books are very popular. We're moving a lot of them, and we certainly recommend them all. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, the last thing on the story of the Syrian situation, so far the U.S. isn't committing to anything yet, but major neocon spokesmen like Aaron Miller of the Wilson Center for International Peace, a globalist think tank, are pounding the war drums on the talk show circuit, claiming that if the U.S. doesn't make good on its red line threats, U.S. reputation for action means nothing. Well, I hope it means nothing. The U.S. has been threatening too long. You know, the U.S. has been in trouble in the past for falsifying the evidence for going to war, and although it is no less aggressive in doing so now, it's probably trying to be a little more careful about giving him ammunition to the growing anti-war faction in the U.S. We also learned this week that the Syrian rebels are planning on retaking the Golan Heights from Israel. If true, this would complicate the U.S. backing of the rebels. With Obama in Israel this week pledging support to Israel, it's a good bet that this particular anti-Israeli faction of the rebels will be reined in. Unless, however, the U.S. and Israel have a plan to use this incursion into the Golan Heights as a pretext for an Israeli invasion of Syria, one way or the other, globals are going to remove Assad before attacking Iran. So this isn't over yet, and it won't result in a peaceful resolution. Well, another important story I'm bringing out this week is that there may be a reason other than actually buying ammunition for the highly touted order for the Department of Homeland Security to order 1.6 billion units of ammunition, along with 2,717 armored vehicles that has raised huge questions. Of course, as I've said, many on the right, including myself, viewed this as missions by the federal government to wage war on the American people, at least, you know, those that the government would label as dissidents. However, none of us with military law enforcement background can figure out why they would need so many cartridges. Even an army couldn't use that many pistol cartridges in a conventional war, let alone DHS with a skirmish with a few thousand armed dissidents. Moreover, who believes that the DHS needs that quantity of armored vehicles in order to serve a few warrants, as they claim their purpose is? Well, it turns out that Homeland Security isn't really going through with that quantity of ammo purchases, though they are buying ammo on a regular basis. They are going through with the MRAP, armored vehicle refurbishing, but they're giving most of them away to other law enforcement units in order to disperse the equipment and help militarize local law enforcement for future use. But what I think they're doing, Stan, is putting out these stories about huge quantities of ammunition far in excess of what they can use to bait conservatives into verbalizing the threat of future government tyranny. so that they can turn around and use those statements against us to prove that we are a threat. That's kind of slick. This answer kind of distilled upon me as I saw the Southern Poverty Law Conference and other news media focusing on the growing militancy of the right as we attempt to counter the tidal wave of gun control proposals. In their annual assessment and defamation of the militant right, the SPLC and others showcased how domestic patriots are preparing to defend their Second Amendment rights against government tyranny with armed force. And they cite recent quotes from Chuck Baldwin and others stating clearly that the Second Amendment, properly understood, is mostly about countering the threat of government tyranny, not hunting or self-defense, which is a correct view. And to add substance to our arguments, we have cited these huge ammunition purchases as evidence of future intent of the government to engage in tyrannical action against law-abiding citizens. Thus, taken in isolation, those statements about imminent threat of government tyranny can whip up public sentiment against us, coupled with our vows of resistance, like all the sheriffs who say we will not enforce the law, and they're building a case that we are a domestic threat. Isn't this interesting? It's kind of a circular reasoning that they're using to get us painted. And they engender this resistance by putting out, you know, bogus reports of 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition being purchased. Any comments about that, Stan?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that we are being constantly manipulated. Everything is a matter of perception, and they know how to manipulate the average American, and they want us fearful, and they want us then to begin to arm and against the government, and everything is manipulation, and we have to realize, I think you do it so well, pointing out that we are simply victims of their propaganda program by which they control both the right and the left, the conservatives, the liberals, the Democrats, the Republicans. They control everything, and they largely control how the American people think and what we fear. Go right ahead.
Well, there was another bogus piece of disinformation coming out of the right this week, claiming to be an insider, part of the Frontiersman Early Warning Network, saying that federal action against patriots in the U.S. is imminent. He claimed that there was a meeting at 10 a.m. This week, a very large meeting at the FBI's Criminal Justice Information Center in Clarksburg, West Virginia. It's a great arch-shaped building that has a huge parking lot around it where it's the FBI's data center, essentially, in West Virginia. He said the meeting was held in an auditorium and everybody was there, from agents to secretaries, and it was hosted by the director of biometrics, organized by the director of biometric identification management, DEMA, by a retired Colonel Bolo. He said he got the name wrong. The only retired DEMA director is a guy named Don Salo.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Oh, hold the thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here at the American Freedom Center.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
CENTAS, the uniform people in Greeley, is saluting the police, firefighters, paramedics, and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our community. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a better place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message from CENTAS, the uniform people in Greeley. They can be reached at 970-352-2233. On the air because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America. 970-352-2233. CENTAS, the uniform people.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, this is the last segment. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about another bogus piece of threat information coming out of a claimed insider, talking about him claiming in a Clarksburg meeting that there was a meeting with all of these federal agents and claiming that they were preparing to take down over 1,000 groups on the right wing based upon the Southern Poverty Law Conference. This is way too many to be considered a threat. Most of the 1,000 listed by the Southern Poverty Law Conference are local members of the mild-mannered Constitution Party, hardly threats to the government that they could justify, you know, intervening. He says DHS and FBI are planning to move at one time against the listed groups, with SWAT teams being utilized against the more threatening ones. He says the colonel explained that all these groups have been successfully infiltrated and the leaders identified. I mean, the FBI doesn't spend time infiltrating the Constitution Party. I mean, this is just ludicrous. They go after most of their infiltration as their own neo-Nazi groups that they've created in order to goad them into doing some illegal acts. The bogus intelligence also claims that this is part of the new internal security force that the president has been alluding to. In answering a question from Atteteni regarding the mass purchase of ammo, he also stated that the buildup of arms and ammo was specifically for this mission. You don't need 1.6 billion rams of ammunition. So you see, you can tell that this information artist is playing upon all the typical things that the government is throwing out as disinformation, like the ammo build and pretending that it's real. He said the witness told me afterwards that at the meeting, everyone, notice the bad grammar, were against this. People were complaining, shaking their head in disbelief and asking what the heck is going on. According to him, nobody, including federal agents present, I mean, it would have almost all had to be federal agents, planned on going along with this, and many even talked about how this would ignite a war. Well, there's so many signs that this is pure disinformation, Stan. Numerous Patriot groups sent people out to the FBI National Criminal Headquarters in Clarksburg to see if there were armored vehicles, as the guy claimed, in the parking lot. They found nothing, only a few tractor-trailer rigs with air conditioning units on the front parked in the rear. No other witnesses or evidence of the meeting have surfaced, which certainly would have been likely given the claims of extreme resistance on the part of the attendees. So we have to be very careful of this. We have to learn to discern what's good information and what's bad. Beware of anybody who claims that they have a constant source within the government telling them these things, because nobody in this day of total surveillance of all telephone and email could get away with whispering to our side without getting shut down. Well, another news.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. I think they're using the internet and certainly the conservative channels to feed us disinformation all the time to keep us constantly frightened. They know exactly how to manipulate the American people. They do a magnificent job, and that's why we need a voice of sanity to try to point out to people what's happening, how we are being constantly frightened to death. Go ahead.
But, you know, even though I've been a common debunker of what I consider bogus, false intelligence, nevertheless, I do think the threat ultimately is real. I mean, we know what the government is doing. one of the things that I found out recently is that everybody's running around looking for FEMA camps in the United States, but I found that FEMA is mostly building prison buildings now. They're smarter. They know that the camps would be very, very visible, hard to hide. So there's a lot of FEMA facilities going up in smaller towns around the United States, and they have large warehouse-type buildings, and I believe that inside a lot of those are being built prison facilities. There certainly have been some legitimate sightings. I included have observed one train myself that had modular prison cells in them. That is, they were a modular cell that can be locked together to build a prison inside a building. And I think that's the preferred way that the government's going. Camps are really not very useful in these northern climates in the United States with severe winters, but prison buildings certainly can be more effective. So I'm a believer that things are getting worse. The government is intending to get tyrannical someday, but they are obviously intending to try to whip up some kind of reaction from our side so that they can clamp down and further paint us as radicals. So I think that's what we have to be careful of. Well, in other gun control news, the assault ban is dead on arrival in the Senate. Senator Harry Reid has admitted to sponsor Dianne Feinstein that he lacks the votes to ensure passage. It's a 100-member chamber, and he's got less than 40 votes, he says. So that's well short of what they expected to do to get an assault weapons ban. They claimed that they had about 15 or more senators that were swing votes. They were unable to convert any of those onto the side of gun control. Now, that isn't to mean that the Democrats didn't want to vote for it, but they feared for the voter backlash, and that's what's really driving this retreat. Democrats could see that voting for this bill was pushing too hard, too fast, would result in getting unelected next term. But don't think we've seen the last of the assault weapon ban or Dianne Feinstein. She will be back. I expect there'll be more massacres goaded on by government agent provocateurs to keep pushing this point until it does pass. Now the battle moves towards something else dear to the heart of the gun grabbers, universal background checks. Sounds innocuous enough, but it is dangerous. You don't confiscate weapons until you have a national database of where all the weapons are. So all the hyped-up claims coming from this source out of North Carolina about imminent confiscation of weapons is pure bunk. You can't do mass confiscation without first compiling a comprehensive list of guns and their owners. And the ban on assault weapons was going to include a grandfather clause, a trap, so to speak, that your weapons would be grandfathered, but to be grandfathered, you had to register them. But now that's dead, too, since there's no assault weapon ban. The next best thing is to require all private sales of firearms to be done through a licensed dealer who will run a background check. This tactic technically doesn't violate the letter of the Second Amendment, so compromising organizations like the NRA can go along with this, but it does get guns over time on the government list. And the NRA is rumored to have made a deal not to oppose background check requirements as long as the agency doesn't keep permanent records. Well, what good will that do? Who's going to believe the government isn't keeping a list? You know, it's already a requirement that instant background checks are not to be recorded, but they do.
We're out of time, Joe. We're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much. We'll be back and talk to you real soon.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I would just like to comment very briefly. Basically, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, has come out in favor of background checks to buy weapons. What does that have to do with a Christian ministry? I don't know whether he was manipulated into this, why he would come out and comment on this. Also, the head of the Southern Baptist Convention has come out in favor of background checks. Is it perhaps they were talking about certainly the assault weapons ban and, oh, we're not going to do that. All we're going to do is check on people before they buy weapons. Well, I can see where local communities would want to do that, but that is not the function of the federal government. And just ask yourself, why would Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, and certainly the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, come out favoring something which will allow the government, the federal government, to have a list of everybody who purchases a weapon in America? I think we should be very, very concerned about this sort of thing, because there are people who want a dictatorship in America. They want a dictatorship throughout the world. And they're using the financial and military power of the United States to destroy nations, existing nations, and put their people into power. The gentleman who now heads Egypt, where did he come from? Well, he was trained at USC. We've just selected a new leader for the rebels there in Syria. And where did he come from? Why, he got his education in the United States. Isn't that a coincidence? Well, ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and there are powerful forces that want a world government. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get a copy. If you did order a case, why, they're already, I want you to know, they're being printed at the present time, and we hope to have them out in a few weeks. But if you haven't read the book, you need to get it, and hopefully you'll want to get copies for other people, because you have to understand that there really are powerful forces. There really are secret organizations and covert organizations, a small, well-organized group of people who are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, to undermine Christianity and create a one-world religion. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, and eventually there'll be a one-world ruler, just as was prophesied so many thousands of years ago. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're out there and you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to welcome you. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. You can certainly subscribe to our newsletter, get our products. If you'd like a catalog, we'll be glad to send you one. We have a lot of products that we carry just to help subsidize and maintain the 50 outlets that we have every week, predominantly radio stations, but we also have internet, shortwave, certainly satellite means of reaching people. You can even listen to our afternoon program if you have a telephone with unlimited minutes. We have people that actually are able to hear us that way. But our number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Please go there. You can read my letters going back for a decade and a half, almost two decades. You can certainly listen to our radio programs. You can watch the DVDs that we have posted there. You can look at all the other sites we have and all sorts of links to important DVDs, which will help you to understand what's going on and make preparations for the future that lies ahead. But please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for radio liberty, our provision protection. And so until Monday, until Wednesday, when we'll be back with you, thank you, and may the Lord be with you.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become